Well, it wasn't my own decision. My sister, who was in Glasgow, actually was working in a nursery school which was run by the Church of Scotland. And she, I think, told one of the ladies about me being in Edinburgh. I had a visit from, she was a minister's wife, and she thought I should really come to Glasgow. And, you know, somehow, I don't know how all the arrangements were made, but I certainly packed up my things. I left the family and I came to Glasgow. And that was in March 1941.
And did you live with the minister and
wife? No. I stayed. It was a peculiar situation because I had nowhere to stay. But there was one house in Hillhead Street, which was a district nurse's home. And the lady who ran it, Miss Curry, she was a gem of a person. She took in refugees. Whenever she had any empty bed, you can stay here. So I stayed there. And then I went to the committee, to the children's committee, to report. And I was told I had no business to leave Edinburgh. After all, she said, you had a bed to sleep in. And I said, I think I have paid back what I owed. And I am entitled now to learn something so that I can earn my living. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They were very angry with me and wouldn't do anything really for me. But I stayed in the hostel in Renfrew Street, and that was not a particularly nice place. However, it was the minister's wife who then took things upon herself, and she thought I should really go back to school. And initially I went to a primary school. It was a 16-year-old going to primary school. But it was very useful. Mm-hmm. I learned rudiments of English, arithmetic, handling.
It gave you a good foundation.
It gave me a good foundation. I was only there for a few months, but I learned something. And then she took me to the, in Pitt Street was the Commercial College.
Oh, right.
So she took me there, and they wouldn't have me because I had no secondary school education. And she somehow arranged for me to be accepted to a secondary school, and that was in Springburn. The committee had said, now we'll give you 6 months, and then you will just get out and work. However, I went to school in Springburn, and one day I was called to the headmaster, and he said he thought I would be able to sit my highest. Mind you, I was only there for a few months. And I said, you could sit your highest. And I said, I'm sorry, I won't be able to do that. The 6 months are up, and I really have to leave. His wife was Bailey Roberts.
Would you like to explain what the role of a Bailey is? What is a Bailey? What is the role of a Bailey?
A Bailey was really a counsellor at the corporation as it existed in those days. Mm-hmm. Well, it was the council, obviously. Mm-hmm. Well, she was part of the council of the city of Glasgow.
So she would be quite powerful then?
Sorry?
She would be quite powerful.
Oh, very much so. I would imagine so, yes. And she certainly arranged a meeting with the Lord Provost.
Right.
And I was taken by the limousine to the city chambers and taken to the room. I had a lovely cup of tea there. And the Lord Provost asked me what I would like to do. And I said I would like to teach. I do know that it's not a possible thing to do for me. But that is really what I would like to do. And he then said to me, my dear, just you continue with your education and don't worry about a thing.
Excellent. However, We do know, Rosa, that you didn't become a teacher.
I did not become a teacher, not a school teacher.
Why did you decide to go into nursing?
When I finished school, I had to make a decision what I was going to do. And the minister's lady suggested I should go into nursing. There were three options: the ATS, munitions, or nursing. And she actually said, you know, I think you should go into nursing. And she suggested that I should go to the Sick Children's Hospital. I should make application there. I was not keen. I knew nothing about hospital life. I knew nothing about the role of nurses. And I could not see myself as a nurse. However, I made my application, hoping it would not be accepted, sent it in, and was called for an interview. And Miss Clarkson, the matron, very gracious, she said to me, "Now, is there any question you would like to ask me?" And I said to her, "How long would I have to stay before I could leave?"
That must have gone down very well.
And she said to me, "Miss Goldsall, if you don't like us and we don't like you, you can leave after 3 months." I said, "Excellent." So I was accepted. And my whole attitude when I started nursing was really, I hated it. I think I had a totally wrong approach to things. I was also very terrified. Very early on, you had 1 week in classroom, learned the rudiments, how to take pulses, temperatures, and that was it. And you then went into the wards. And the first ward I went to was a surgical ward. And the burns, the smell of burning skin, the crying of the children, I just couldn't cope. I became quite friendly. There were only five of us who started actually the training. And I became friendly with a girl in our group who also hated it. And we fed on each other's misery. And after 3 months, we decided we would hand in our resignation. She wrote her letter, I wrote mine. She went in first, and Miss Clarkson told her to go and pack her bag and go. When she came out, she said that she's leaving. I said, "Oh, well, this is easy." And I went into the room, and Miss Clarkson asked me to sit down. And she didn't ask very much, but she said to me, "I think we should send you to the country branch." I think she may have realised that I was stressed out by the acute areas that we were immediately sent into. But I also knew that I would have to go back to York Hill. So I was sent to Drumchapel, to the country branch. And while there was a senior nurse there. She was such a bubbly person. She was so full of life, so full of fun, and the children loved her. And she sort of drew me out of myself. I was never like that, and I could not be like her. That's impossible. That's not my makeup. But I began to realize that I was wrong, that I really should make a go of it. And after my, it was 3 months at Drumchapel, I went back to York Hill and just continued my training.
Excellent, excellent. So you became a nurse?
I became a nurse, and actually it was very interesting. When I sat my first finals, the sick children's, and we had oral exams, at that time. We don't have that now. And after the orals, the sister tutor said to me, "Oh, the examiners were so impressed with you." I thought, no, that was really quite nice.
I think it's lovely, actually. It's important, I think, to receive praise.
Yes.
So you...
Well, I finished. I wasn't keen to go any further to do my general training. I liked sick children's course, and I enjoyed working at York Hill. I learned a great deal. The training itself was good. Theoretically, I felt was a lot that left to be desired. During my training there, I actually attended a course, not a course, this was a conference on psychology, and I was asked if I would like to go, and I went, and it really was beyond me. My own educational level was relatively low. It was so high-powered, I felt terribly frustrated. But it also stimulated me, really, to improve my own education. I became a staff nurse in York Hill. I went to the outpatient West Graham Street. It was really very interesting there. And after that, I decided to do my general. And I went to Stop Hill to do my general. I didn't like Stop Hill. I did the training. I can't say I enjoyed it, but at the same time, it was a worthwhile experience. And after that, I decided I would do my midwifery training and really enjoyed that.
It's a bit like a bug, isn't it? You know, once you catch that kind of learning aspect, you want to continue.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I really felt I had to. I realised that with having only a sick children certificate, there were limitations of the sort of work I could get. If I had the experience of adult nursing plus midwifery, it was a much more complete picture.
Absolutely.
I could deal with so many different aspects of caring at the time.
And did you mix with any of the Jewish community at that time, or were you staying in nursing hostels?
Yes, I had no contact with either refugees. Mm-hmm. My sister, of course, at that time, she was allowed to go live in a flat, not a flat, one of the rooms,
in the hostel rooms
that we could live in. And she was living with another refugee girl, Jutta. And they were very good friends. But I felt out of it. I was never really part of that very close friendship that they had. And but Jutta became ill. And she developed tuberculosis. And then other events came, because my mother then came and things really began to change. But at any rate, as far as my own training was concerned, I decided after I finished the midwifery training, I would work as a midwife.
Right.
And I went to Redlands Hospital for Women. Now, it was not a training school. And my attitude was that I was not interested in going to Rotten Row or a big training school. Once you finish a training, you have to consolidate what you have learned and really become proficient. And Redlands, to me, was ideal. You did everything. You had antenatal, you had the labour rooms, you had the mother-child relationship, the delivery of the baby. You worked in every area. And it was an excellent place to consolidate what I had learnt. And I became really, I was very fond of it, I enjoyed it. And in between, of course, my mother came. So in a way, I would have to diverge, because while I was doing midwifery work, I was then living with my mother.
Because that must have been very emotionally...
It was indeed, yes. My mother arrived we heard that she was alive. I was still at York Hill when I received two letters. And one letter was from an American soldier, other one from a British soldier, each telling me exactly the same, that my mother approached them at a synagogue service in Berlin and asked each one of them to contact me to tell me that she was alive.
Which is wonderful.
It was tremendous. And they said, the letter also, if you want to send any food to them, they would make sure she would get it. So we did that. And then we had a letter from my mother to tell us that she was alive, obviously, and that she would not want to stay in Germany. And we at the time were not sure what was happening to us, because we were told that we were only allowed to stay here for the duration, and then we would have to go back. And of course, after the war, when Germany was really virtually destroyed, there was a question in the House of Commons, and Churchill was asked, when are the refugees leaving the country? Because people didn't want us to stay here. I mean, there are a lot of issues and things I haven't talked about, but that's one of the things. And Churchill said, you cannot do that. There's nothing for them to go back to. We were told, if we wanted our mother to come, because they were not keen for any refugees to come, we would have to apply to the British commandant to give permission for my mother to leave Berlin. And we did that. And then that was a whole lot of things. We had to promise to look after her, that she would not be a burden on the British government. The people did not require the funds. Both Betty and I were not earning very much. I was earning very little. I was still in training. Betty already was earning £3 a week. So that was always something. And after the war, we also had to get out of our digs, because the men came back from the war. And
they needed somewhere to stay.
So Betty and I decided, Jutta by that time was in hospital, and Betty and I decided we would buy a flat. We hadn't a penny to our name.
I think that's quite ambitious.
Ambitious was absolutely idiotic. However, we went to a number of places. Was even a bungalow we looked at.
Start at the top, I think.
However, eventually, we had a very good lawyer who was very good to us, again, due to the minister's wife, who was very, very helpful to us, and also the lawyer who was very helpful to us. And there was this flat in Trefoil Avenue in Shawlands, and we looked at that, and it cost £750. We didn't have a penny.
No.
So we said, well, we must get it. But we had to put down a deposit of £100. £150. Had no money. So we went to the Board of Guardian, Chief of Us, and asked for a loan. They wouldn't give it to us. And he says, there's no guarantee that you will pay it back to us. We can't give you any money. I could understand that. We were strangers. They really knew nothing about us. We had not a penny to our name. And I could understand it. Eventually, they said, if you can get somebody to guarantee for you, then we'll give it to you. And there was another refugee, a Mr. Doctor, and he was a marvelous person. And he suggested going to Mrs. Janine. And Mrs. Janine said, yes, I will guarantee for you.
She was a marvelous lady.
She was such a good person. And she eventually gave work to my mother. She was really a very kind person. So once we got that, we bought the flat in Trefoil Avenue. and paid back every month our mortgage. So we had our own flat, but we didn't have much furniture. We used orange boxes for bedside table and things like that. It didn't matter.
I think to have your own place must absolutely have been
wonderful. At least we had somewhere, and we had somewhere where my mother could stay. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, where would we put her? So she arrived in February 1947, and it was really quite emotional. The minister's wife was with us at the station when she arrived at the station, and she was the same bubbly little mother that she always was, full of life. And the first thing she said to us, "I must help you. I must help you," as if she felt guilty mm-hmm. of what had happened. But really wasn't. I mean, she did a lot for us in her own way. And we took her up to the flat. And one day we got a visit from one of a lady, she also had been a refugee, telling my mother how much they did for me. And I exploded. And I said, "And what did you do for me?" Mm-hmm. She was very upset, and she walked out. And my mother trying to calm me and trying to calm the woman, but that's how I felt. I mean, as far as the Jewish community was concerned, I got no help from them. Now, I may be unjust because at least they did give me some money so I could pay the hostel until I went into nursing. But it's the attitude mm-hmm. towards me at the time where they're not willing to help me. I felt very upset.
So your mother lived with you, and did she learn English?
Well, my mother wasn't allowed to work.
Because
now, my
of
mother
her
was
status.
Desperate to work. She was desperate to help us as well. And she was also very lonely in the flat, and we were out. Betty was working, I was working, and she was alone, couldn't speak the language. Eventually, she worked, although she wasn't allowed to do it, with the Jewish people who were selling second-hand clothing. Mm-hmm. And my mother helped in repairing the things. At least she was with people, and they gave her a few pence, and that was important. But psychologically, she was really suffering. And at the time, we knew a lady, Dr. Winifred Rashforth, she was a psychologist, and she ran the clinic in Edinburgh, the Davidson Clinic, and it was actually that clinic that created the conference in psychology, which I had attended. And it was she who wrote a letter to the Labour Exchange at the time and said, "Unless my mother would work, then mentally she will deteriorate." And then she was allowed to work. She got a work permit.
So you worked in Redlands, and after Redlands,
I worked in Redlands, and then there was an advert that they were looking for midwives in Israel. And I thought to myself, well, that's really where I should be. I should help there. So I applied, and eventually went to Israel. I took Hebrew lessons before, and I already had rudiments of Hebrew, mm-hmm. but not the modern, well, it was modern Hebrew that we were taught in Berlin, but I'd forgotten a great deal. But there was an Israeli student, and he taught me mm-hmm. and helped me, so that when I reached Israel, I could communicate with people. To me, that was important.
Absolutely. And you left your mother and sister?
My mother, by that time, was well established. She was working. Mm-hmm. She was satisfied. She had Betty around mm-hmm. her. And she didn't stop me. And mm-hmm. if that's what you want, and that's mm-hmm. it. So I went to Israel.
Which must have been quite different in that time, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I went there in 1952. In fact, the plane I was on, it was delayed because Chaim Weizmann had died. And they were waiting for his son from America, and he was catching the same plane to come for the funeral of Chaim Weizmann. So that's the plane I was on. And I actually was supposed to work as a midwife in Israel. And when I arrived in Lod Airport, I had actually been given some car parts. Henry, my brother-in-law's cousin, was in Israel, and they had asked for some car parts that you couldn't get in Israel.
Car parts.
Right, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I took them with me. I was met by a lady from the Israeli Health Department. Mm-hmm. And when Asher came, the wife, husband of Henry's cousin, and he said, "And where is she, are you taking her?" And she said, "To Tiberias." "No, you can't do that. She needs to be acclimatized first. It can only happen in Israel."
Absolutely. Everyone has an opinion.
So I was allowed to stay in Tel Aviv to get acclimatized, but eventually actually worked in a Sarafand hospital. And when I arrived there, and I said I was wanted to work as a midwife, "We don't need midwives." And she looked at my certificate. She says, "We need somebody like you for the children's wards." So I said, "I don't mind where I work. If that's where you want me to work, I'll work there." And that's what I did. And eventually had two wards. That was 100 children. But it was a very, very interesting, very difficult time, but very interesting time. It was still a time when there were so many survivors coming in. Israel was in turmoil. It was just trying. It had just fought a war. There were tremendous difficulties. They couldn't pay us. And we were just given tickets so we could have dinner or meals in the hospital. But there was a camaraderie there, which perhaps isn't quite the same today as it was then. And it was a tremendous education. It was really quite tremendous. And I remember I had one of the nurses, she was not a trained nurse, had been in a concentration camp. And Achaya just walked round in the ward singing all the time. And some of the young nurses were saying, "You know, she's not really pulling her weight." They were complaining to me. I said, "Well, how can I help Chaya?" So I spoke, I said, "Let's have a wee chat. How can I help you to make life easier for you? What is the particular problem?" And she said, "We had so many babies on drips. I mean, some of these babies were really extremely dehydrated." And she said, "If these drips stop and the babies die, I couldn't stand it." So I says, "Look, I mean, I do look after these things. I'm sure, make sure that the drips are running, that there is no swelling of tissue. But if it's easier for you, why not take a chair, take a baby who needs to be fed, and you can still watch the drips." And she did that, and that seemed to calm her a little bit. There was another one who was just walking around like a zombie. I mean, the people were really in a terrible state, some of them. The mental hospitals in Israel at the time were full of people like that.
They would be.
But they were trying to give work to as many as possible. And then, of course, there were people coming in from the Yemen, from Morocco. And the area that the hospital was in fact, had a lot of Yemenites and a lot of Moroccans. And it was really quite fascinating to watch how people were actually absorbed and how they themselves contributed in their own way.
So why did you decide to leave Israel? Because it sounded a very exciting time.
Yes, well, I was asked to to become, to take charge of the maternity hospital in Tiberias. And I was quite interested in that. And then I heard from my sister that she was expecting her baby, it was due any time, that her husband was mentally, he was actually admitted to Crichton Royal. And my mother had difficulty walking due to the problems that she developed when she, during the war. And I felt that I had a responsibility towards them. I couldn't leave it all to my sister. No. That was wrong. Mm-hmm. So I went back.
So you came back to Glasgow, go back into midwifery?
No, I went back into sick children's.
Right.
And became a ward sister at York Hill and decided that it was really time I moved up the ladder. I was very keen on teaching, that I wanted to do the tutor's course.
Right.
And I went into the classroom and did some teaching before doing the course, which that's an episode there which wasn't successful as far as I was concerned. However, while I was there, I realised I was always had the feeling that the theoretical part of the training, of any nursing training, was really very badly thought through. And particularly the sick children's ones, it was based on a general nursing, and there was no attempt made really to look at the variations, the differences between the child and the adult. And there were no books available on the management or procedures pertaining to nursing children. So I decided I would write a book. That was the first book I wrote, and Miss Clarkson was very encouraging. So I wrote the first and the second edition, but I still felt that my own knowledge was actually so limited that I could not write a book which really encompassed not only basic nursing, but looked at anatomy, physiology, psychology, and all different aspects which should really be included in a course of that kind. But that had to wait until I married.
So tell me how you met Joe.
One day, oh yes, during while I was doing midwifery, I had delivered Mary Finkel's daughter. She had been at Redlands and I delivered her baby, so she knew of me. Joe evidently was without a girlfriend, so I'm told. And my sister said, we were invited out to Mary Finkel. I said, what for? Well, it's quite nice to meet other people, says she. And Mendel was going to take us, because he didn't have a car.
And Mendel was Mary's brother?
Correct. That's right. So Mendel took me and Betty to Mary Finkel. And when we arrived at Finkel's, there were other women there, two other women and a man. And I hadn't a clue who they were. And we had our meal, we talked, and once we finished and we were going home, Mendel said to me, I'm not taking you home, Joe can take you home. I said, why should Joe take me home? I'm not taking you home, Joe has to take you home. So Joe went into his car, no idea who he really was. I was very naive, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
And when Joe took his sisters, I didn't know that they were his sisters, took them home, then took me home. And then he said to me, can I see you again? I said, what for? He says, I'm interested in you. I said, but you're married. I said, I'm not married. I said, well, who were these women? They're my sisters.
And how many years have you and Joe been married?
Well, it was a very, very short thing. Because after all, during that time, he was away doing tropical trials.
Right.
Actually. So I didn't see much of him. I said, oh, well, there's nothing more coming of it. And that's it. Forgot all about it. And then he came back. And then he wanted to continue, which we did. So that year, we actually got married.
Right. And you've been married how long?
52 years.
Which is, these days, I have to say, Rosa, remarkable, which is wonderful. And you have had two daughters?
Yes. But actually, all I can say, I couldn't have married a better person. Not only did he bully me into improving my education, I have rarely met anybody like it. I mean, I have these two children. I went to evening classes, went to Glasgow University, extramural classes, that it was quite tremendous. And then Joe became a counsellor at the Open University. And he said to me, why don't you join the Open University? I said, no way, couldn't do that. Of course, he said you could. So he bullied me into it.
And so one of the things I have to say, Rosa, is that your book is still in Glasgow Caledonian University.
I think, actually, it is one of the best things I've done. When I look at nurses' books nowadays, I don't find them very informative. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that book, which I had the first and second edition, and which also translated into Spanish and Indonesian Bahasa, I mean, I thought these were really good books. Mm-hmm. Because it covered embryology, covered anatomy, physiology, it covered psychology, and it covered disease processes and nursing management,
which is
of children.
Which is very important, very important.
And to my mind, there isn't a book like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not being facetious about
no,
it. I don't really
no.
mean that.
No, I know what you mean. There are, but they're all in different books.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.